at some point it feels like this has got to be a giant distraction, not only for Bezos, but also for Amazon itself. Where does this go? And I never would have expected this.
Yeah, you were saying earlier that you felt Bezos was this very disciplined individual. When they've been attacked for many, many things throughout their history, their typical response is button the lips and don't say anything. This is why this is unusual territory.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Week in Geek. It's the GeekWire podcast from GeekWire.com in Seattle. I'm editor Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook, GeekWire co-founder.
So, John, we were sitting down in the studio, getting ready, doing our research to record this week's podcast. We had a great topic. We were going to talk all about Amazon's acquisitions in 2018 and speculate and do some informed speculation on who they might acquire in 2019.
I hope we can still do that.
Yes, but it's now going to be in the second segment because while we were sitting here, a tweet came through and it was from Jeff Bezos. You know, I get mobile notifications on all of Jeff Bezos's tweets.
And this one surprised you a little bit. I could tell by the reaction on your face that something was going on that was a little unusual.
So it read, I've written a post about developments with the National Enquirer and its parent company, AMI. You can find it here. And the post headline was, the headline on the Medium post that he wrote was, No Thank You, Mr. Pecker, by Jeff Bezos. Now, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Pecker, David Pecker, is the owner of the National Enquirer. He owns AMI, the company that is the parent of the National Enquirer, the supermarket tabloid that recently exposed Jeff Bezos's extramarital affair, which led Bezos to announce his divorce as a preemptive move. But this post that Jeff Bezos put up is remarkable. There are real implications here for Amazon, I think, or potential implications for Amazon, and that's why it's relevant for us. But before we get there, I feel like we have to explain essentially what's going on here.
Good luck, because we had five journalists in the newsroom,
five?
I think, reading Jeff Bezos' posts at the same time, and it is not the most free-flowing, coherent post. It's a little all over the map in terms of its explanation, but I think we can eventually get to what he was saying.
Okay, so Jeff Bezos, after the National Enquirer published its initial story about his affair, the one that essentially ended his marriage, realized that they had published text messages.
Which he was unclear how the National Enquirer had gotten those text messages and wanted to know.
So he then retained his own investigator to look into the situation. And through that investigation, according to this new post by Jeff Bezos, at least the implication is that they uncovered other things about AMI and the National Enquirer, including links to the Saudi Arabian government, I guess it would be, and the things that AMI and the National Enquirer did not want to get
out there. Unsavory things.
Yes.
Which prompted AMI to respond with a message saying, hey, we've got all these other compromising photos of you, Mr. Bezos. So why don't you play ball with us or else we're going to post these embarrassing photos?
That's it. We just did it. That was the summary.
That's what happened. And Bezos, in a real unusual move, I think, for the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation, decided, hey, I'm not going to play ball with these folks. And I'm just going to put it all out there and disclose what is potentially in this message. And he did. He's disclosed the back and forth with AMI.
All of their
in
emails,
great detail,
including descriptions of the photos that they are threatening.
No photos are shown,
no.
But descriptions of the photos.
Yes. So
this is unusual, isn't it, to see the CEO of one of the most valuable companies on the planet.
Yeah, the richest man in the world.
Richest man in the world to come out and say these types of things and to attack a media organization in the way that he is. I was using the word counterpunch or counterattack to go after AMI. And we're kind of in unprecedented territory here. I'm sorry to say.
So the basic gist of Bezos's post is an accusation against the Enquirer of what he calls specifically extortion and blackmail. So,
which it seems like it is. I mean, if you read the back and forth between the lawyers and the chief content officer at AMI, they were trying to extort Bezos to drop their own investigation or the charges that they were levying.
That Bezos and his investigator
right,
were finding
in order,
to drop those.
And holding out this carrot of, hey, we've got these compromising photos, so don't. So stop your investigation and stop talking about it.
So that is the backdrop. There were a couple of interesting mentions of Amazon and of Bezos' own time and attention in this post. And that's really one of the things that struck me quite a bit. Here you have Jeff Bezos, the CEO of one of the most valuable companies in the world, as you said. Microsoft and Amazon are number one and number two right now in terms of their market value. And he is focused here on something that has nothing to do with increasing the value of that company, of serving that company's customers, which is, you know, supposed to be his paramount concern and as CEO. And I'm not suggesting that he's not living up to his obligations as CEO, but at some point it feels like this has got to be a giant distraction, not only for Bezos, but also for Amazon itself. Where does this go? And I never would have expected this.
Yeah, you were saying earlier that you felt Bezos was this very disciplined individual who wouldn't let him get into this type of situation. And he's proven this through his business dealings over the years in terms of how he's attacked new markets or how he's been smart about not engaging attacks on the company or him. And
right.
So this is a very unusual chapter, I would say, for Bezos, that he is striking back, a person throughout his career who, if you look at Amazon historically, Todd, you know that when they've been attacked for many, many things throughout their history, their typical response is, you know, button the lips and don't say anything. So this is why this is unusual territory. But you do have to wonder, and there is a legitimate business story to be discussed here about whether Bezos is becoming too much of a distraction for Amazon in this case, because this looks like it's going to be dragging on for weeks, if not months. And you got to imagine it's consuming a lot of his brain power. I mean, his marriage has fallen apart. He's in the public eye in a way that he's never been before. This is a potentially tragic unfolding of events here that could lead to, let's say it, maybe he needs to. And we've said this on the podcast before, Todd, and I think it was one of our predictions, actually, as we went into 2019, that we felt as if we saw signs of Bezos getting ready to maybe hand the reins and move on from Amazon. Not move on,
as
but as CEO, to day to day, remain chairman, remain a founding investor, founder of the company, and very intricately involved, but moving away from the day to day operations. And you got to think, if he was even thinking about that prior, incidents such as this and activities such as this might lend him to go down that path, or the board, which is pretty tightly controlled by Bezos, would potentially say, hey, we got to look at this, maybe time to move on.
A couple observations I want to make. It's fascinating the public relations and crisis communication strategy he has used in both cases with the Inquirer. First, when he made his divorce announcement, we didn't know it at the time, but the Inquirer was getting ready to publish its story, and he essentially preempted it with his announcement, including the statement that close family and friends had known for some time that he and Mackenzie Bezos were separated, or that their marriage was not going to stay together, as a way of preemptively getting out ahead of the fact that the Inquirer was about to report that he had an extramarital affair. And here he is doing that in a much bigger way, where he's saying, okay, you got these embarrassing photos of me. I'm going to totally, you know, neutralize that by coming out with this post that basically lays bare everything that you're trying to do and turns the tables on you. I mean, that is hardcore.
It is.
Forget the phrase.
And I don't think we would have seen Jeff Bezos in this situation. I don't think any of us could have anticipated that he would find himself in this situation at the beginning of 2019, and that this is what we would be talking about on the GeekWire podcast. But it's a real threat and a real situation that he needs to spend time on and deal with, and looks like he's trying to be proactive going after it.
And then two things from the post that he published on Medium. First, he said that he retained essentially an investigator to lead the investigation into how the Inquirer got a hold of his text messages. And he said he asked him to prioritize protecting Jeff Bezos's time, since he had other things he would prefer to work on, and to proceed with whatever budget he needed. What luxury.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He said,
I missed that. Yeah.
I asked him to prioritize protecting my time, since I have other things I prefer to work on, and to proceed with whatever budget he needed to pursue the facts in this matter. Holy cow. All right. So that's one thing. And then second off, later on, he says, AMI's claim of newsworthiness, AMI is the parent company of the National Enquirer, is that the photos are necessary to show Amazon shareholders that my business judgment is terrible. Then he goes on to say, he founded Amazon in his garage. He tells the old story about driving the packages at the post office himself. How many times is that story going to come up? But then he says, today, Amazon employs more than 600,000 people, just finished its most profitable year ever, even while investing heavily in new initiatives, and it's usually somewhere between the number one and number five most valuable company in the world. I will let those results speak for themselves. Yes, but what about in the context of all this stuff? That's where you start to go. That seems to be the type of thing that could cause a distraction at this company.
And I can't read this story or think about this story without alluding to another one that comes to mind, which is the Hulk Hogan case Gawker Media, which there are, it's not exactly the same, but there are hints here about press freedom and where the line is there. In this case, though, it seems like there is true, based on the email threads back and forth, that there is true extortion that's going back. The Hulk Hogan case, of course, Gawker got video sex tapes of Hulk Hogan and published those in the interests of, they felt, their readers. And Peter Thiel, who was kind of came out later as a backer of Hulk Hogan and his legal team. So you have another high tech billionaire who basically went after Gawker, and Gawker essentially had to shut down as a result.
As a result of the court,
the settlement,
court ruling, yeah. We should say Patrick Houston, who's a loyal listener to the podcast, pointed that out on Twitter as well, that there's a lot of interesting connections there to that Hulk Hogan Gawker case and Peter Thiel. So that is the news, such as it is, on Jeff Bezos and National Enquirer and
developing story.
Breaking news.
I do think this is going to have some twists and turns in the next few weeks or months, and we need to pay attention to this.
Yeah. All right. So we will be right back with a discussion of Amazon's business, the actual business of Amazon. That's coming up next. You're listening to The Week in Geek on GeekWire.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
All right, welcome back. It's Todd Bishop.
And John Cook.
We're talking about Amazon this week. We'll have other topics later on in the show. But we were digging through Amazon's 10K filing. And for people who don't know what 10Ks are, they're basically like Christmas morning in the form of a regulatory filing. Every year, public companies have to file a comprehensive annual report with an update on their business and risk factors. And it's basically where you find out what's really happening, because they have to be transparent and clear in their disclosures to investors. And one of the things we noticed in the Amazon 10K filing before anybody else did was that they disclosed the size of some key acquisitions that they made over the past year, both Ring and PillPack. And it was interesting because in both cases, they disclosed numbers that were below what had been reported. In both cases, they had been reported to be more than $1 billion in terms of the acquisition value, and it was lower. So Amazon reported cash acquisition prices of $839 million for Ring, which is the smart doorbell company, and $753 million for PillPack. That's net of cash acquired. You might get into some accounting stuff there. They're giant acquisitions, nonetheless.
True, and there could be earnouts. There could be other terms of the deal that
we're
not seeing.
What's
if you hit a certain milestone a year or two out, you can get a potential additional payout.
Yeah, so that's pretty common in these types of deals. But what's interesting to me, bigger picture, is that you're coming off another year of a lot of mergers and acquisitions. Many tech companies are getting acquired by other tech companies. Just this past week, we saw the news that Spotify is acquiring Gimlet Media, and that is the podcast company founded in part by Alex Blumberg, the former This American Life journalist, basically well-known for the startup podcast and many others. So M&A, mergers and acquisitions activity, which is one indicator of the economy, still seems to be humming along. What are you observing out there, John?
Well, these large tech companies like Microsoft and Amazon are still sitting on a massive amount of cash, and so they can go out and expand into new markets relatively quickly. The interesting thing with Amazon is that they have not been that acquisitive throughout their history, but in recent history, they are starting to amp up their acquisition pace. And so as you see Amazon expanding into other areas, I think we'll continue to see them buying companies as a way to more quickly expand into areas. So when you look at where they're expanding, which is almost everything, but some key areas for them include gaming. You know, they bought Twitch, certainly cloud is a key area. You could see them in the war with Microsoft Azure for AWS to be strengthened in many ways.
And they've already made a couple AWS acquisitions of smaller companies this year.
Right. Niche retail. So they bought Whole Foods, but could they buy like an a Nordstrom or a specialty clothing retailer or a fashion company? They're going big into health, which is an area that I think you could see an acquisition. You know, PillPack was in that arena. And then the other big area, advertising tech, where they're taking on, I think they see Facebook and Google a little bit dented right now. And can they take advantage of that in a way to accelerate their move into ad tech potentially through an acquisition? So those are just five or six areas, and there are a host of other areas, you know, shipping and logistics. I mean, the list just goes on and on with Amazon, which is why it's fun to speculate.
Absolutely. I could see a big acquisition in shipping and logistics. That clearly is something that Amazon is trying to get its arms around. They do a lot of their own shipping and logistics, and you could see them picking up a smaller player in that realm in an acquisition in 2019. But if we're going to sit here and start to predict Amazon acquisitions for 2019, I got to point out one analyst's prediction from this past week was that Amazon could acquire Redfin, the Seattle-based real estate brokerage.
I don't see that. I mean, Redfin stock has been hit a little hard here recently, so the value is potentially better. But other than Whole Foods, Amazon really hasn't bought companies where there's this giant employee infrastructure in place. And in Redfin, yes, you're buying some technology, but in essence, you're buying real estate brokers, you know, all around the country. And does Amazon really want a network of real estate brokers heading into a potential slowing of the housing economy? It's just such a hard, I don't see that one.
Yeah, so maybe, but you could have said, does Amazon want a giant retail chain with a bunch of grocery employees too?
That's true. I think groceries, probably it ties into their e-commerce and retail heritage and some of the initiatives that they already have going on, especially as it relates to their own delivery and logistics infrastructure. That makes a heck of a lot more sense than having a smattering of real estate professionals all over the country. So
yeah.
I'm going to put thumbs down on that one, Todd. I would like to hear your thoughts on one that you're probably going to put a thumbs down on. But entertainment is another category that Amazon is going big into. So there has been some speculation. In fact, there was a story, I think, last year talking about AMC theaters being up for sale, and that Amazon and could make a play.
Did they get bought by somebody else?
I don't think so. So I think they're still out there.
Wasn't it a Mark Cuban company?
I think it does have investment from Mark Cuban.
Yeah. So
yeah.
AMC, it would be interesting.
We should let our listeners send in their picks of Amazon's next acquisition.
Yeah. Actually, was it AMC? I think it might have been Landmark, actually. John.
Was it Landmark? Okay.
Yeah, that was the speculation that this is an area where we're not... Yes, it is. It was Landmark.
Okay. Well, one of the movie chains.
Yes.
They could go after.
Yes.
But there was actual speculation around Landmark.
So that gets into an even more interesting area. It is interesting to speculate on who Amazon might acquire, but what would an Amazon movie theater be like? First off, there would be no tickets. You would walk in.
Yeah.
Scan.
Amazon Go. Popcorn delivered.
Yes.
Yeah.
The drones would bring the popcorn down to your
That's
seats.
Right. I mean, but they're producing original content. And you're seeing Netflix that's even going big into this arena with their, didn't they join the Motion Picture Association or one of their large associations? So you're still seeing the transformation of the entertainment business, and having that brick and mortar delivery point could be interesting.
Well, you could see Amazon trying to do something that MoviePass has tried to do, where you bake in a certain number of tickets per month if you're a Prime member, for example. There's lots of interesting things that Amazon could do with a movie theater chain, but really, do they need to buy it? I guess maybe because then those chains would have built-in distribution rights to other films, but then Amazon has its own production capability, so why would they need that? Total brain dump there.
And then big picture on this whole thread is, as Amazon gets more acquisitive, and they get larger and bigger, there's going to be a cries for antitrust that they're using their market position to continue to crawl or run quickly into these other segments. And so that has to be weighing on their mind, on the winds politically, on where things are going to come down on antitrust as it relates to some of the big tech companies out there.
Yeah.
And I think Amazon has to be concerned about that.
All right.
But we should ask our listeners.
Yes.
Which company do they think Amazon will buy in 2019?
Yes. So here's what I would suggest. Why don't you send that message to tips@geekwire.com with the subject line, John is wrong.
That's fine.
That'll stand out in my inbox.
All right.
tips@geekwire.com. Send us
your predictions.
Who you think Amazon will acquire or should acquire.
Will acquire.
Will acquire.
Yeah,
will acquire.
Real prediction.
Like a prediction, not a suggestion, but a prediction.
Right.
To tips@geekwire.com, subject line, John is wrong. thanks for being my punching bag over there.
Love it, Todd. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with the Random Channel. You're listening to The Week in Geek on GeekWire. Welcome back. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook. It's time for the Random Channel, that moment of the week when we talk about all the random items we were buzzing about behind the scenes on GeekWire this week. We already talked about probably the buzziest item of the week, although the coming snowpocalypse.
Yes, the snowpocalypse. Are you prepared, Todd? Did you get extra supplies at the grocery store?
I was going to stop on the way home tonight.
Did you? Yeah, my wife's been at the grocery store. Even though we live probably about 200 yards from a grocery store, I don't think we're in desperate times.
Well, who knows what's going to happen to that grocery store over the next 4 days.
Okay, yeah. I'll take our chances that I can get there and get some supplies.
I did say to my wife last night, well, you know, we're around the corner from a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they'll never run out of anything.
Yeah. Subsist on Slurpees, can't we?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if our fair city here in Seattle shuts down.
Yeah. Quick reminder, the GeekWire Bash is coming up on March 7th in Seattle, geekwire.com/bash. If you've never been to a GeekWire event, I highly recommend this one as one to start with. And if you've never been to the Bash, I highly recommend it. It is a ping pong tournament, foosball, dodgeball,
VR, robotics, zipline, sumo wrestling, board games, Catan tournament. It is kind of a giant geek festival all rolled into one. And this year, for the first time ever, Todd.
Yes, what? Tell me.
Kid and family friendly. So we're encouraging geeks of all ages to come out and have some fun with us on March 7th.
Now, I know the concern has been that by opening it up to all ages that you might have folks who wouldn't want to be there, but are
no,
they going to be like...
No, of course not.
No, who doesn't love hanging out with all the kids?
It's a geeks of all ages. You're having fun, yeah.
Yep, and we're doing a robotics competition.
Yes, the GeekWire Robotics Cup, first ever. We have 24 teams from First Washington, the great robotics nonprofit here in Washington State and nationally, that are going to be competing in a Lego League competition, and we will see who is crowned the winner.
Awesome. So that's, again, coming up March 7th at the CenturyLink Field Events Center. There will be upwards of 2,000 people there. You can get your tickets at geekwire.com/bash. John, anything else on your agenda, your radar for Random Channel?
Well, my Random Channel item was actually a story on GeekWire, which I just loved. It was written by Taylor Soper, and the headline was Geeks in the Woods, a decade after founding Toon, twins leave Seattle to launch Alaska Startup Factory. Now, Lucas and Lee Brown were the two co-founders of Toon, which was a mobile marketing software company, and grew the company significantly. And I've just been fascinated by these two fellows since they created this company. They are quirky guys. They've been going up to Alaska and doing this thing called Geeks in the Woods, where they set up and they code and have hacker camps and invite people up from Toon. And they're moving up there permanently to try to tap into the Alaska wilderness and the Alaska startup ecosystem and essentially create it. I think there was one part in Taylor's story where he mentioned the amount of venture capital that flowed into Alaska startups last year. Do you know how much it was? This was all of Alaska.
I remember reading the number, but I don't remember what it was.
$3.7 million. That's like a small Series A round.
Like for one company.
Yeah, for one company in Seattle. I mean, there was $3 billion in Washington State last year. So there's not a huge startup ecosystem, but Lucas and Lee are going back to the wilds and hanging out in Alaska and trying to see if they can bootstrap some real success startup stories up there. So it was just a great story, and I really enjoyed reading it.
So it's funny you should mention that. And by the way, we'll link to that from the show notes on this podcast in your app and at geekwire.com/podcast. But my Random Channel was a GeekWire story about something from the other end of the earth, Antarctica. Our colleague Kevin Lasota, who is a photographer, developer, videographer, recently went on an expedition, a photo expedition to Antarctica. And one of the stories that he wrote about was a 28-year-old photographer who he met on the trip who shoots exclusively on film. He took 65 rolls of film with him to Antarctica. He's from Kansas. His name is Michael Strickland, and you can find his photography on GeekWire. But the thing that struck me, John, on these photos, even on a digital screen where we're looking at them here, I think we've forgotten how beautiful actual film photography is in our age of digital. You look at some of the shots that he got. Look at this. This is the one that struck me, actually. This penguin shot with the Nikon F5 35mm film. Like, look at the depth in this picture where you've got the snowflakes kind of popping out.
I could do that on my iPhone.
Oh, please. Please. Here, look at it. I'm going to make it big. I'm going to open it up. There's the trick. Do you know this trick?
This is great radio.
Yeah, it is great radio. At any rate, it's a great story. I highly recommend it. And Kevin's been filing some really fun stories from his trip. So be sure to check it out. And I mean, look at this. Look at that. Look at the detail in that thing.
That's film, baby.
That's film.
All right. Anyway, two great random channel stories for all of you.
Yeah, from north and south, very cold.
Yes, very cold. And hopefully we all survive the snowpocalypse this weekend.
Well, hopefully we'll be coming back to you next week. I've got a mic at my house, so worst case scenario.
I'll trek down.
Yeah, you'll trek down, or we can just do it on Skype. You can phone
Wonderful.
In with your AirPods.
Okay, fantastic,
do it that way.
Todd.
I know you got to run, John.
I got to run.
Okay, hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time on GeekWire. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Thanks for listening. And there goes the plane. That's the plane. That is one of the quirky aspects of our studio, is that we're right on the flight path for tourist flights right down the ship canal.
Can listeners really hear that?
That's a good question.
Will they hear that?
If
you heard the plane, send us a note at tips@geekwire. Todd is wrong. All right?
Wait, I'm right, though, if they heard the plane.
Okay.
But at any rate, you got it.
Todd is wrong anyway. Just Todd is wrong.
Bye, everybody.